And one of the things that the Lord had brought to my attention even on last week is that Christians should not be living in defeat. A Christian should not always be going through. That is not the pattern in the Bible. Now, what's actually been taught for the most part is that the more you go through, the closer you are to God. Going through can lead you closer to God, but that's not the pattern. The pattern was is that oftentimes people would fall into difficult situations because somehow they slid away from God. And then God would allow them to have an enemy. And then they would turn back to God. And then God would give them the victory. And then, Sister Sarah, they would have seasons of rest. If you go on from one fight to what we call warfare, to one fight, to another 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 fight, and then you die, something is wrong. You shouldn't be going from fight to 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 fight. I mean, you can look in the natural, Jay, and you probably don't, but most of the brothers, your daddy probably do. You can look at any boxer, any UFC person. They don't go from fight to fight. Because some fights take so much out of you physically that it can take you months. So you'll find the old school guys, they weren't these little guys that just patty cake and run around the ring. They used to actually throw down. That's why we still talk about the fights. Thriller in Manila, and when these boys, Tyson used to fight. Tyson knock your, I don't know what this is, all the way to the back, and the surgeon got to put it back in the front. And you need time to heal after that. Right? So all this fighting to fighting to fighting to fighting to fighting, say, look at somebody and say, something wrong. So we need the can-do God to step in and to do what? He going to help us. Go to Genesis 18, please. We're going to read a little bit in this book because part of my assignment today is to tell some people this morning, difficulty is not going to stop the plans of God for your life. I don't care what you're in right now. It ain't supposed to. It ain't supposed to. Difficulty does not stop the will of God. So, like, I've dealt with people. No matter what God has told me to tell them, they would find a way in their finite mind to challenge what God was saying to them. So, like, there may be somebody sitting right here under my voice. You say, I've been going from battle to battle to battle to battle, and ain't nothing wrong with my walk. You see that? I just told you, you're not supposed to always live in a constant state of warfare. So they try to reduce the word of God down to their life. And everybody else who received that word, they said, I'm about to stop this devil right now. I thought that I'm getting closer to God, so I was just taking this junk, but I ain't taking no more. I ain't supposed to be in this. And say, men, the can-do God going to do something about it. But you got to keep trusting God. You got to, no matter where you're at, you still got to trust. You got to put faith out there just like everybody else. You got to trust God. Amen. You got to keep your faith up. You got to keep believing in his word, that his word cannot lie. And it's not simply the word that you know or understand or believe. God's word will still work if you apply it. Tell three people, say, your setback is just a setup. Tell somebody else, say, whatever you're dealing with, that setback is a setup. The can-do God going to come through for you. He's going to come through. In Genesis, you find this visitation. The Lord appeared to Abraham, verse 1, near this great tree Amamri while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Now, if you ever been over there, you know you ain't looking, you ain't gazing at no beauty. He's in a different place. He's almost like, truthfully to me, as I would read it, he's almost like in some type of open trance, an open vision. And it's almost like he's expecting God to show up. Well, you better hear what I'm saying. It's almost like he's sitting there in the entrance of his tent, looking across. Ain't nothing, I mean, you can look, it'll seem like something is right up on you, and you'll be looking miles down. At the entrance of his door, almost as if he's in some type of open vision or trance, and God shows up. He's expecting God to show up. And while he's sitting at this door, Abraham look up. He sees three men standing nearby. He sees them, and he hurries from the entrance of the tent to meet them, and he bowed down. Now, over there in that time, it's one of these things to where you only do this when you discern and sense somebody is in your presence that has more authority and power than you got. You kneel, you bow to them because you sense and you know they have more authority and power than you need. Now, why is this important? Because Abraham waiting on a son. He waiting on the promise that God then gave him to come to pass. Nothing's moving. Are you following? And some of us just like that. But we won't sit in the entrance of the door and just watch for the Lord. We get distracted with so many things. We won't just sit and wait. We just keep fumbling and fiddling and touching and talking. How many know sometimes silence is golden? And he said, I have found, if I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. My Lord, Adonai. He was right. He was right. That word translates Adonai. Authority, the God of power, shows up to meet Abraham. Now, this was intriguing to me because these are two angels, and this really is a type of Christ right here, showing up to talk to this man. Why? Because the plan that he has for Abraham, Sister Sarah, is so great that God can feel Abraham's faith dwindling. And this promise coming into fruition is important for all of humanity, whether Abraham realizes at this point or not. Surely he don't. Now, he done tried to convince them. Abraham, come outside and look at the stars. Can you count the stars? 1, 2, 3. No, I can't count the stars. So shall your seed be. Abraham, he takes them to a beach. Abraham, count the sand on the ground. 1, 2, 3, I can't count it. He says, so shall your seed be. And even after all these encounters, Abraham is just sitting and watching. But heaven knows that his faith is dwindling. And God has to reappear again to talk to Abraham so that Abraham stays on point. Now, you follow me, that you follow this story. He says, "He Adonai visits him, and he says, let me get you something to eat. Refresh, then you can go on your way. And he and they said, very well, do as you said. Abraham went and got the best meal and flour and goat, and he killing the goat. And then he says, where is Sarah? Where is Sarah? Ask somebody to say, where is Sarah? I just spoke to Sarah. She's sitting right there. I just pointed to a minute ago. But he goes and says, where is Sarah? And so I want to back up for 1 second. You can be in a situation so long that you are waiting, even though you know you got a sure word of prophecy. Your faith will start to dwindle. Time, because God don't function on time, but you do. And you start seeing people pass. You start realizing you ain't got the same body no more. You ain't got the same energy no more. All this stuff affects your ability to keep believing beyond what you see. So when God gives you something, you got to figure out how to work with him to get that thing in as quickly as you can, because the more you look at empty, empty affects your psyche. The more the manifestation don't, God said, I'm going to heal you. You still feel the pain, but you ain't doing nothing to try to make sure the pain is gone. You just sitting there talking about the pain in there. And the more you sit up and meditate on the problem, that problem starts to intensify. And then it creates another problem, because now we say it affects your faith. But God says, don't let it affect your faith. So I'm not going to let it affect my faith. Is it ever going to change? Anybody ever said that? Is it ever going to, two people, rest of you liars? Is they ever going to stop? Mm-hmm. Am I ever going to get it? Mm-hmm. They gave me a word. I don't see it. Everybody talking about how great that preacher is. And they told me this and ain't nothing happened. Uh-huh. Am I ever going to get married? Am I ever going to have children? Is the business going to ever thrive? Am I ever going to be in my right mind? Uh-huh. All that stuff starts to play on you. Is my husband or my wife ever going to change? Are my kids ever going to get it together? According to God, your answer is yes. Say that, my answer is yes. Uh-huh. All the promises, if God told you that they was, all the promises of God are what? Yes and God says yes, you say, I agree. God says yes, you say, all the promises. See, so that's a two-part. It's a two-part deal. God says yes, but until you say amen, nothing really happens sometimes. We don't come in agreement with God. God is saying yes, 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 and we won't say amen. Tell somebody to say amen. And so your amen, the lack of the amen can sometimes block the breakthrough, because you ain't agreed with it yet. And until we say amen sometime, so be it. When you start saying so be it, no matter what you're looking at, it'll change from empty to a full. Say amen. Amen. And so what the thing that you don't want to get caught up in, I just want to put out a lot of stuff, is that you don't want to allow yourself to be trained according to human ability. It ain't if me ain't gonna fail you. They gonna fail you. They already done failed you. I don't care if it was your mom or your daddy. They done said stuff that they didn't do in their life. Whether they lied or they just couldn't get it done, they not God. They can make promises and really be having intent on making good from them. The problem being, they ain't God. That man, when that your husband ain't always lying to you, he promised beyond his ability. He promised way beyond his ability, and now you upset about something that if, had you just stopped and asked God, you would have knew that he couldn't have pulled it off in the first place. So now you putting pressure on him to do something that he can never get done without God's ability, because he ain't even seeking God for his ability. Say, let the brother off the hook. Why? Because with man, certain things are what? Impossible, but with who all things are possible. Anybody ever been in a situation where you felt like the situation was really too hard for God? I know you can't sit in church. Because you seem unspiritual. Right? You ever been in some of them rooms and you believe in God? You trying to believe God and you looking at a person fade away? Uh-huh. And you saying, they saying God can heal them, and you know, and you saying the right things, but intuitively your truth is saying, I'm having a problem believing this. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm having a problem believing this. But the can-do God can do it no matter what the facts are saying. I'm telling you that God can still do it. You ever been believing for a spouse to turn around or some kid to get straight or get off of drugs or get off some addiction and you spending your money getting them out of jail and you putting them in the clinics and they do well and then they back again and then they come back out, they looking well, but in your mind you having a hard problem believing that they're going to be able to do this 1 week at a time. Tell somebody, ain't nothing too hard for God. Ain't nothing. There's nothing too hard for God. And how do we change the facts? Saying amen. When I find it in the Bible or when somebody preach it and I know they talking to me, I don't sit there with my face all twisted. I say, if don't nobody else get this word, I'm going to say amen. Maybe they don't need what I need. Maybe they don't know what I know. But I know this one thing about God. Where my ability stops, his ability is just beginning. And the can-do God can come through like a rushing mighty wind at any second. And the same thing that is dead, he can make it come back alive. The same thing that was shriveling, he can give it its vitality again, because God can do all. He can do all things. But we don't want to put our trust in people like that and ruin relationship because they couldn't believe it in the first place. Everything is I was thinking, is there even a such thing as something being too hard for God in this dimension? He spoke and it was. There was nothing in the beginning. In the beginning was God, and God looked at this, and he spoke, and everything that he spoke came to pass. That would mean that everything that he created is subjugated to him. Say, that's nothing too hard for God. That nothing in your life, nothing's going on in your mind, nothing in your body, nothing happening in your pocketbook, there's nothing that God cannot do. Nothing that's happening in your marriage that God can't fit. It's all subjugated to God. It all comes up under God's authority and his ability. Say, Adonai is in the building today. So it's not too hard for him. What you don't want to do, though, is that I'm going to show you, is that you don't want to be Sarah right now. You don't want to be Sarah. You don't want to think like Sarah right here. And I'm not picking on her, but I didn't write the Bible. God did. You don't want to think like she was thinking. Now, can I understand it? Yeah, I can understand it. She done went from believing God from a young woman to an old woman, and she still ain't got pregnant. She still ain't got pregnant. No, she didn't have no miscarriages. She didn't have no abortion. She didn't have none of that. She still ain't got pregnant. She wasn't careless with her walk. It still ain't come. God done said it, and now you just sitting there waiting. Sitting there waiting. Anybody? You sitting there and you waiting, but you don't want to be like her. Because something was happening in her, even though maybe it wasn't visible to Abraham initially, something is happening in her heart. Now, Genesis 12, God begins to talk to Abraham, and he gives Abraham a prophetic word. He tells him to leave his father, leave his kindred, pack up all his people. He's going to send them to a place that God going to make him the father of many nations, and that God going to make him. He going to be the blessing. Now notice, Sarah's not there. He didn't say, you and Sarah. He said, I'm going to make. See, sometimes you bless by association. I'm going to make you a blessing. And so here they are. They sitting there. They waiting for this promise. They waiting for all this stuff. And time is elapsing. Time is ticking. Time is ticking away, and then you go from this place between Genesis 12 into Genesis 18. Somewhere, they have almost stopped expecting God to do anything. I can imagine so. From that point, just a few chapters, 25 years done ticked by. Let me tell you, 25 years ticking from your life, that changed a lot. According to man's ability. You better hear what I'm saying. according to man's ability, but not with God's ability. See, time ain't no disqualifier in heaven. When you short on time, it amplifies the move of God in your life. When you short on resources and you still get it done, it amplifies that this is the Lord's doing. When you know the doctor couldn't heal you and then they walk up out the hospital room, irregardless of all the testing, and live another 20 or 30 years, that's God's doing. Anybody short on time? If you short on time, look for God to do something incredible quick for you. I say, if you feel like you're short on time, you start looking for heaven to do something quickly. Say, move, Lord Jesus. Say, move, Lord Jesus. And I can imagine them saying within themselves after 25 years, my body is dead. I got this word. Nothing happened. God done met me. Nothing happened. And here you are, you looking at a point to where they almost gone. But how many know that God wasn't done yet? And so he said to tell somebody today, he says that get ready to relive your promise. Refuse to leave this earth without your promise. Refuse to live in poverty without your breakthrough. Refuse to live in shame. Yeah, we done all did some junk in our life, but you can move past the shame in your life because God will take that story and make it his story, and then he'll make people pay you to listen to it. Say, refuse to live in shame. Refuse to live out your days, the rest of your days, in sickness and depression, because if you'll refuse it and you'll push back the devil, you'll create just enough space for the Lord to get in. Say, I refuse to be unhappy. The Lord can come on in now. See, and when you create that space, he don't need a bunch of space. He just needs you to give him some space, and you'll give him some space. God know how to create the rest of it. Say, watch God move in my life. Because we've given up way too quick because it's being delayed. But God said, God ain't done yet. And I believe the Lord was saying to somebody today, prepare for me to move you from a place of nothing to something. Prepare me to move you from a place of empty to prominent existence in the earth where you're going to be full. I ain't just talking about full, talk about money. I'm talking about spiritually and naturally. You're going to be full in this earth. Prepare for God to do something to you. You should be happy right now, but you prepare for the Lord to do something for you. He says, because he's prepared to take your life from nothing to something. He's prepared, but you got to say amen. The can-do God can do it, but you got to say amen. You got to say amen, because I'm sick of grown people having other people talk for them. I'm sick of preachers trying to talk for people, and God is trying to, he said, I'm prepared to take you from nothing to something, and you so sorry you won't even say amen. You don't deserve it until you agree. There's nothing out there for God to do nothing until you agree. You got to agree. So people broke because they won't agree. They sick, they won't agree. They depressed and on all these medications, they won't let God heal their mind. They go into divorce because they won't agree with God that what he put together, let no man, no woman, no tramp, nobody else, no money, put it asunder. Say, I agree with God. Say, I agree with God. Prepare for God to move you from nothing to something. I don't care if everybody in your family told you it was nothing. God is about to move you into a something. And the something going to make everybody that doubted you pay attention to you. And now you can testify, this was the Lord's doing. This was the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. I haven't been all that great. I haven't been perfect. This is the Lord's doing. I didn't sow no whole bunch of money. This was the Lord's doing. How many know that God can do it? And so he done took him out there. He done showed him. And then God starts to do something that I found very interesting. He starts talking. Actually, he allowed Sarah to ear hustle. See? But it ain't like people do it today. They just trying to find dirt so they can use it against you. But he was talking to her indirectly by allowing her to hear prophecy that he gave to Abraham that was going to come through her. See, the promise wasn't to her. The promise was to Abraham. But she has a part to play. And her part is to stay with Abraham and allow God to work this thing out. So let's pick up about number 9. And they said, where is Sarah, thy wife? He says, she in the tent. He says, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And then he says, and Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Who's he returning for? Abraham. But men don't have babies. He's returning to Abraham to work through Sarah. So this wasn't the first time that God had said this to Abraham. Genesis 17, I believe it's 17, he tells Abraham what he's doing. That's the first one. That's the first witness. And then God, Sister Kenan, gives him a confirming witness. And the confirming witness is to ensure that Abraham don't give up on the first word that he got. What's your initial word? I'm going to help you. Pay attention. See, it's your life. The first word you get don't come to me. I'm going to help you because some of y'all mad at some of these preachers, but they didn't know no better and you didn't either. Dumb, the first word don't come to me about you. It comes to you about you. And then God confirms it, maybe through me. And the confirming witness is to make sure that the first word that you heard, that you understand, that what you heard wasn't fake. See, now watch this. What's happened typically in the body of Christ is you come in, you don't have a word. And then I give you a word, but you don't have a word. So you adopt the word that I gave you, but God didn't give you that word, and then it don't come to pass, and now you all hurt. And that's because you started with no word. You have to seek God. You have to be open. You have to agree with God. Say amen 3 times. Amen, amen, amen. You have to agree with God. Then God confirms the word through the mouth of somebody else. But watch this. The content is already in you. Now faith is the substance. The content is already in you. Now what the confirming word does is just stirs it a little bit, but the content is in you. I'm not putting the content in you to stir you. I'm stirring the content that God has already put in you. That's what's making your baby leap. And once your baby start leaping, you know that it's alive. You know that it's close. When it start making you feel uncomfortable and you got to get up and walk and you got to get up and pray and you got to roll over and you got to prop your feet up and all these stuff that you go through in your trimester, you know your baby is in there and your baby is alive, and no matter how long I got to wait, whether it's 3 days or 3 more months, I know my baby is going to eventually come. And then what you get is that you get your Isaac exactly like God eventually gives to Abraham. He gives you a demonstration witness, and he gives you the demonstration of what he put in you. I'm telling somebody today, you got a word. God done confirmed the word. Get ready for your delivery. Get ready for God to push out, allow you to push out and bring into existence. As long as you stay with God, God will keep that thing saturated. He'll keep your womb. He'll keep your baby until you birth it.
And some of you are in a birthing window. Some of you, you ain't close to it at all, because you're working off of something your mama told you. You're working off something your last pastor told you, but you didn't have no content, baby. You got to go to the Father and say, God, I need substance. I need something on the inside of me. I get something on that I can nurture, that I can feed. I feed it on the word of God. Even though I'm in this condition, I'm putting the word in my womb, and eventually whatever's in me is going to come out of me. If it's, tell somebody, if it's really in you, it's going to come out. If God put it there, it's going to eventually come out. And delay ain't no denial. If it's in you, it's going to come out. I don't care what it looked like. I don't care if people are laughing. I don't care what the bad reports are. If God really put it in you, it's really going to come out. It's going to come to a maturity. Tell somebody, say, get ready, get ready, get ready. And so here Sarah is. Sarah is standing behind the door. She's behind the door and she's eavesdropping. And they said that Sarah heard it in the tent door. That word heard is Shama. S-H-A-M-A, I believe. Meaning that she's eavesdropping on prophetic instructions. And she knows she's listening to God. Do you know when you're listening to God? I don't care if it's talking to somebody else. If that thing comes from the corridors of heaven, as they talking, you know that's God talking to them. And these instructions that she's hearing is throwing her off. And Sarah begins to do what? She laughed within herself. After I'm old, shall I have pleasure? If young people can still have pleasure in life, old people can have pleasure in life. If young people find joy in life, old people can have joy in life. And she's saying, shall I find this as I'm old? And that says, I want to tell somebody, even as you age, don't stop living. I say, don't stop living. Now, I know what she talking about. I'm talking about you can still find pleasure and joy in this life as you age. You don't have to live vicariously through somebody else, not your kids, not your husband, not your grandkids or great-grandkids. You got still life in your bones. That means that God want to please you somehow. Say, come on, Jesus. That means that God still want to do something for you and do something in you, even as you would age. Don't just wait to die. Say, I'm going to get everything that God got for me in this life. And she laughed within herself. She know the word. Watch this. She knows that this is God, but she's a skeptic. She's a skeptic. You don't find her really having any encounters with God other than this one. But Abraham did. Abraham had plenty of encounters with God. So he not no skeptic. See. Do you know what happens a lot of times? God can give a person a word and they so skeptical of it. How shall this be? Come on, Jesus. The skepticism is a fancy word for saying they're in fear, doubt, or unbelief. They don't believe God. They're in some form of fear, doubt, unbelief. Now, doubt is so powerful because sometimes you feel all right because you believe it. Now you're doubting. So it keep you kind of off kilter. You believe it. Now you're doubting.
But James tells us that a double-minded man, she unstable.
Say, God, fix my instability.
He unstable because one week they talking this and the next week they talking that. Watch this. There's no sameness in you. Now, why is this important? When there is no consistent, look at this way, please. When there's no consistent talk coming out of you, your spirit don't know what to believe. Mm-hmm. Your spirit don't know what to believe because you're flip-flopping. But if you get consistent in your talk, if you got it from God, you stay with God, you keep saying amen, you hold on to your profession, you don't change it, not one jot, one tittle, watch this, and you don't let nobody else alter it with a maybe God meant this. See, Sarah wound up being in a maybe God meant this when she gave Hagar to her husband. Maybe he meant, say, don't let nobody change your word. Don't let them alter it. Don't let them tamper with it. Don't let them add nothing to it. Don't let nobody take nothing away. If this is what the Lord said, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to have. This is what I'm going to be. But I'm not going to let you tamper with my word. Say, don't tamper with my word. And she gives Hagar to her husband, and they get that baby. They get Ishmael. They get Ishmael, and they're going to give him to God, and God rejects Ishmael. Why? Because Ishmael was a child of man's ability, and God promised Abraham a child from the realm of the spirit, and that's why he allowed Sarah's womb to be shut up, because he didn't want you mixing and matching and putting stuff in what he had, and then you're going to call it, this is God's anointed. He's going to be a great prophet. And God said, that ain't mine. That's your baby. My baby going to come from the realm of the spirit. You can name them what you want. You can call them what you want, but everything that I give down here from me, it's going to come from me. And here she is. Sarah is a skeptic of a word that God had given her. I'm telling somebody, stop playing with the word God gave with you and just go and believe in it. Stop playing with the word that God gave you and go and believe and get it. Stop playing with the word that God gave you and start doing something with it. Because watch this. Even though God came through for Sarah and Abraham and put the womb in her, at some point she was still the person delivering and pushing. She's still the one who has to put something in the game to get it to come to fruition. So while you're just sitting back, not even participating with God, say, I got to do something. And then he tells him, at the appointed time, I'm going to return according to the life. Now, let me just skip down here because my time bought out. Sometimes God still has to move ahead with his plans. She wasn't in no faith, but she was a part of God's plan and a part of his fulfillment to Abraham. So he has to work through her because she's a part of the process. Abraham, he didn't give him another wife. Some people in your process, they don't really have to believe. See, I find it striking that sometimes guys or people won't go after what God has placed in their heart. Watch this, because they say stuff like, don't nobody believe in me. Who cares? I don't even need you to believe. He just made you a part of my process. Nobody gonna stop this. I'm trying to be nice. Everybody say, who cares? You just a part of my process. My wife don't believe in me. If I'm gonna be the president, I'm gonna be the president whether she believe or not. I got the word. And I don't, see, we gotta move from a place to where I don't care if she shouts now or later, I just need to get there.
I'm not going to divorce her because she don't shout right now. Maybe she can't live it. She can't see it. She's just a part of the process. But I'm going to still get to it, and we'll shout together later about it. But sometimes we say, I can't get it done because my husband don't believe in it. Who cares? Did he give it to your husband or did he give it to you? My parents didn't never believe in me. Who cares? Have you heard from the Lord or not? With man, things are impossible. They can't believe for it because somehow they think they're supposed to do it for you. Everybody say, who cares? Who cares? Who cares? If God is for me, who can be against me? If God promised it, who can stop it? Nobody, nobody, nobody can stop it. And so here you are. You ain't got to prove yourself to nobody. You ain't got to show nobody nothing. Say, my blessing going to speak for me. My blessing, it's going to come to pass. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but whatever God got in your heart that you're trying to suppress down, shout, it's going to come to pass 3 times. Time ain't going to stop it. Say, it's going to come to pass. Age ain't going to stop it. Shout, it's going to come to pass. Criminal records ain't going to stop it. Shout, it's going to come to pass. Folks not believing, it's going to come to pass. You can doubt me if you want to. It's still going to come to pass. Because what God has said is gospel. It is going to happen the way he said it. And no devil, and saying the devil can't stop it either. Let me give you this and let me go. He says anything too hard. And I don't know why I put this like, I could have put this way in the beginning. But I don't know why I put it right here. But we're just going to get through it and give me about 3 minutes, 5 minutes, we're done. But I think it's going to help you. I know it's going to help you. That phrase, anything too hard for God, is a word, it's a Hebrew word, it's D-H-A-V-A-R. I'm going to end right here. And it essentially means anything too hard actually means word. What? Anything too hard. That word translate, I want to say like 800 into 840 English words. That one word. 840 English words. But what it means is word. It means matter, like a substance. It means thing. It has to do with saying. It has to do with speech. It has to do with commanding or promise. It's used to describe prophetic revelations from God. Or like when it means when God speaks or when God says something, it comes to pass because he told you it would. If God said it, if God say it's not too hard, what should you say? Amen. It's not too hard. It's about God speaking something. And if he tells you that you can go and take back everything that the devil done stole from you, what should your response be? Because he's saying you can subdue. See, I only believe that God put this in my heart because there's some things that's been taken away from us in life. And God says, you're going to be able to go back and take it back. Everything that the devil stole from you. Y'all weren't always miserable in that marriage. You allowed the devil to take things from you. You weren't even in this economic condition, but you allowed the devil to take things from you. You used to have plenty of money, but now you're going through financial hardship. Stop talking about the money that you used to have and go take back what the devil say. I'm going to go back and subdue it. Stop talking about the life you used to live, how healthy you was. Take your health back. Your mind was sharp at one point. Take your mental faculties back from the devil. Everything that the devil done took from you, say, I'm taking it back today. I'm taking it back. I'm not going to be a skeptic. I'm not going to be a doubter. I'm not going to be a person that walks in fear. I'm not going to be these persons that cower down. No, God is for me. God is the can-do God. Watch this. And the can-do God going to do it exactly what he said for you. I say the can-do God is going to do it exactly like he had you to write it on your little vision board. The can-do God is going to do it exactly like he had you to write the vision out and make it plain. And you understood it, but it was delayed. But say, now I'm here now. I'm here now. I'm here now. I'm here now. And the can-do God is going to do exactly what he said. Let's stand to our feet and give the Lord a hand of praise. I got to get out of here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That ain't everybody. Hallelujah. And that's what I mean. Not even the skeptics don't be able to stop you. They don't have to believe, they'll see the proof. They don't have to believe, they'll see the proof. Let them watch. Let them doubt. You just keep your eyes fixed on God. And he said at the beginning of this year, no matter what happens to your left or to your right, keep your eyes on what he told you. No matter what happens in the world, if it's not affecting you, keep your eyes on what he told you. People are not crying out to you, they're crying out to God. Keep your eyes on what he told you. If God can't fix it, it cannot be done. You on a timeline. Keep your eyes on what he told you. Whatever happens in the world, what are you supposed to do? Keep your eyes on what he told you. What if it's delayed? Keep watching it. Keep your eyes on what he told you. And you'll get the fulfillment of your promise. Amen. Come on, give them one good hand praise. Don't worry about nobody else. God got them. God got them. God got them. God got them. You just keep on pressing. You just keep on moving. You just press towards your prize. Press through your mess. Press through your test. Press to be the best. You just keep your eyes on what he told you. He got them. He got your children. He got your grandchildren. He got your great-grandchildren. He got your husband. He got your wife. He got your employer. You just keep your eyes on what he told you. Hallelujah. Watch and see. Watch and see. There's great testimonies to come in this place. I'm talking about unexpected, God going beyond what you asked for. Great testimonies will come forward in this place this year, way beyond your reach. The hand of God going to bring it to you, way beyond your reach. That's how you're going to know it's God. Hallelujah. Way beyond your reach. The Lord going to show people what he can do in this hour. Because many people are churchy, but they're not believers no more. And he's going to go way beyond your reach, brother, to show you that he is still the can-do God. Lift your hands up towards heaven. Let's get ready to get out of here. And Father, we thank you right now for everything that's been said and done in this place on today. Thank you right now, God, that you've met us on today, that you've spoken and encouraged our hearts. Let us move past the doubt, the fear, the skepticism. Whether it's in us or around us, to get to this promise. Demonstrate to your people that they have heard from you on this day that what they're looking at, he's going to reach beyond their ability to do it. That they're in an appointed time set aside from heaven to meet them and to do it. And nothing and no one's going to be able to stop it or mess it up. And Father God, we give you all the praise. We give you glory. for just being the can-do God in our life. Let us hold fast to our faith, no wavering, no doubting. And if there is any doubt, God, help our unbelief. Help those areas in our life. Surround us with people that speak your language. Let heaven resound. Let the move come quickly. And we'll be thankful, grateful. We'll give you all the praise, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, clap your hand. Give him a good praise. Come on, give him one good praise. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. Let me see the prayers, prayer people right here for a minute. Just take about 5 or 10 minutes. Do whatever you're going to do, and let me see them right here. But Father, as we leave this place with not your presence, let your peace go before us. Let your face shine upon us. Number us amongst the righteous and give us peace. Bless the going out as you bless the coming in, God. Let this be an incredible week of testimonies and breakthrough, healings, deliverance, and financial release into your people's lives. And we give you all praise, glory, and honor for it in Jesus' name. Love of on fire, people, say something good is going to happen to you. You are dismissed.